Chapter 33.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
A week of watching Obi-Wan and John in their comfort together. The obvious way the two of them worked as a unit that would be more at home on an active battlefront than in the purported safety of the temple. A week of watching the slightly stilted interactions between his friends and their masters, of seeing how badly Obi-Wan wanted it, yet still couldn't bring himself to fully trust Master Koon. John was just as watchful as Quinlan, but he watched his friend and their masters for a completely different reason. Quinlan was allowed to call him John now, at least, even if that was as far as he'd gotten in winning the feral little monster over. Finally, with both Obi-Wan and John distracted at tea time with Knight Balaba and Master Saw, Quinlan sat cross-legged on a cushion at a low table, focusing on the heat from the teacup in his hands seeping through his gloves. Across from him, faces serious, were Masters Windu, Koon, and Yaddle. Given how badly Jin fucked up, and with the council finally aware of that fact, Quinlan had known he was going to be questioned about the Jin-Kenobi partnership. He had just expected it to happen at least a year ago. "We thank you for taking the time to discuss this with us, Padawan Voss," Master Koon rumbled, hands folded neatly in his lap, his own tea sitting on the table in front of him, still steaming. Quinlan nodded, silent. The three masters shared a look, and before everything, the way Master Windu's face creased in a frown would have made even Quinlan hesitate, but right now, knowing what he did about Obi-Wan and Jin, he couldn't bring himself to care. "Worried you are," Master Yaddle said. He nodded again, staring into the depths of his tea. Even with his meditation the past few days on everything he knew about Obi-Wan's Padawanship, it was still difficult to force his thoughts into order enough to start. The masters let him settle himself, the silence stretching until it was almost uncomfortable. Sucking in a breath, letting himself feel the way his lungs expanded, Quinlan closed his eyes. A gentle brush against his pair bond with Obi-Wan, and he exhaled. "I always told Obi-Wan to tell the council. About Jin, about his training, about the reports. The first time I told him was just after his first mission." Quinlan spoke slowly, letting the words roll across his tongue before falling from his mouth with all the intent of a migrating Orbach. "Do you know why he did not?" Master Windu asked. Another slow breath and a silent apology to Obi-Wan. "He never trusted you enough," Quinlan said. He didn't need to open his eyes to see the way it hit the masters in front of him. He could feel the ripple of shock, sadness, grief in the Force, but he forced himself to. Master Windu visibly slumped, the most emotional response Quinlan had ever seen from the typically stern man. He watched as Windu reached one hand up to rub at his face tiredly. Master Yaddle looked as tired as Yoda, despite the multiple centuries separating their ages. There was a thread of steel to her spine, however, that told Quinlan that she, at least, would not allow any harm to come to Obi-Wan. Between them, Master Koon swayed as if taking a blow. Guilt rising, Quinlan took a sip of tea to wash away the bitter taste in his mouth. To Obi-Wan, no other master wanted him. His only shot at being a Jedi was Jin, or else it was the Service Corps, and it was obvious that Jin didn't want him either. Pettily, Quinlan left out Jin's title, and he saw the way Windu's mouth twitched in either disapproval or amusement. With how fragile his welcome at the temple was, Obi-Wan would rather cut off his own arm than tell the council that Jin wasn't a good master. After all, if Jin barely wanted him, who else would bother to take him? Quinlan grimaced. A master he would be given to, Master Yaddle started, and Quinlan couldn't fight down his anger. No one told him that. The masters across from him froze as his voice snapped around the room, the teapot on the table rattling slightly. Jaw clenched, Quinlan closed his eyes again and breathed. Thulm brushed against their bond in concern, and Quinlan let the comfort of his master calm him until the thought that Obi-Wan had never had something like this shattered that comfort. He snapped their bond shut quick enough to sting, and he winced, making a mental note to apologize to Thulne later. Hands shaking, Quinlan put his teacup down with a clatter, ignoring the way tea sloshed over the rim onto his glove. Obi-Wan let himself be treated like he was because no one told him he would still have a home here without that man. Faintly, Quinlan could feel their concern, but if he let it reach him, he would break. Obi-Wan never broke in all those years with Jyn, so Quinlan couldn't break just talking about it. He was bullied in the crush and no one cared. He fed himself without Jyn and no one cared. He raised himself and no one cared. Quinlan could feel himself shaking, but now that he had started, he couldn't stop. Jyn never noticed his nightmares, not after Bandimir and certainly not after Melodon. Jyn did not train Obi-Wan safely. Most of Obi-Wan's in-temple injuries were due to overwork and injuries from training because he was pushed too far by Jyn. Quinlan scoffed. The number of times I could tell you that Obi-Wan had been injured during missions and Jyn didn't notice. A warm hand rested on his shoulder, and Quinlan slumped back into Thulne's arms. Jyn treated Obi-Wan like an insect on his shoe most of the time, if he ever bothered to acknowledge him at all. Not that Obi-Wan saw it that way. He was always convinced it was his own fault. Breathing ragged, Quinlan sucked in a shaking lungful of air, refusing to acknowledge the tears on his cheeks. The worst part of it is that I know Obi-Wan hid stuff from us. I don't even know everything that happened to him, that Jyn let happen to him. Minutes passed in silence as the gathered masters took in everything he said. Even though he was years too old for it, Quinlan prodded at Thulne until he could curl up in his lap like a child, resting his ear against Thulne's chest so he could hear the steady beat of his heart. Though he was no longer a child, not really, these were childhood hurts coming to light after far too long. "Noticed you did." Yaddle's voice was soft, gentle in a way that Quinlan knew Obi-Wan had never heard before. "Kinda hard not to," he croaked. "When I get to feel what Obi-Wan does if I touch him." Under his ear, Thulne hummed quietly, reaching up to run a hand through his dreads. His master sighed. "Is that why you started wearing gloves so often in the temple?" Chewing his lip, Quinlan nodded. The first time he had touched Obi-Wan after the beginning of his Padawanship, he had passed out. There had been no warning at all that a single brush of his hand against Obi-Wan's would result in the sense feel of aching bones, each breath a lightning strike of pain from bruised ribs, the vague nausea that accompanied the sickening feeling of the floor tilting beneath his feet. Worst of all of it was the overwhelming feel of worthlessness. Obi-Wan would hate himself even more than he already did if he knew Quinlan had caught snippets of his nightmares. Bandimir and the mines, Xanatos, the horrors of Melodon. "I have no idea how you didn't notice," Quinlan whispered, chest burning. His shields got significantly better after he got back from Melodon, but before that, he laughed bitterly. "Sometimes it didn't even matter if I was wearing gloves. I still caught impressions." Thulne sucked in a sharp breath, squeezing his arms around Quinlan in a warm press, tight enough that it felt like he couldn't move, but Quinlan relaxed at the pressure. "Worrying, this is. Tell us, you can, if abuse there was," Yaddle asked. The other masters had been so quiet, Quinlan would have been half convinced they had left if the Force wasn't roiling with their horror. He didn't look up. "Aside from the neglect?" he asked. Yaddle hummed her confirmation. Quinlan's gut twisted. Quinlan was aware of a lot more than the others in their crush group about Obi-Wan's struggles. His psychometry helped with that, but being trained by Thulne made up for a lot more. He knew how Obi-Wan would hide his injuries, the cadence of his strides when he had a twisted ankle and was trying not to show it. He knew how Obi-Wan had altered Ataru forms for when his ribs couldn't handle the intense flips and twists. Obi-Wan was the best cook out of all of them through necessity, and he had been forced to ask other masters for help with homework and training he was interested in. But Quinlan, he didn't know. He knew what brand of makeup Obi-Wan used to hide the bruises that he didn't tell the healers about, but he didn't know for sure where all the bruises came from. A hand squeezed the back of his neck, and Quinlan blinked open his eyes to the sight of his knees. Tholm was whispering a Kiphar lullaby into his hair, rocking them slowly from side to side, and the masters across from them were projecting peacefulness, soothing the edges of his distress gently. "I don't know," his whisper caught in his throat, but it still echoed around the room like a blaster shot. "Thankful we are for telling us you did," Yaddle sounded mournful. Tholm made their goodbyes, scooping Quinlan up from his lap and walking from the room without even making the suggestion he walk on his own. Over the swirl of Tholm's cloak, Quinlan caught a glimpse of Master Windu slumped with his head in his hands next to a Master Coon so still it looked as if a gentle breeze would shatter him into pieces. Master Yaddle was scowling fiercely, and Quinlan couldn't help the smirk that stretched across his face at the thought of the diminutive master facing off against Jin. The implications from that conversation with Padawan Voss were horrifying. Plo had no other way to describe the visceral feeling of devastation that encompassed him after hearing what Padawan Kenobi, his Padawan, thought about the temple and the Jedi within it. Frankly, it was a miracle that Obi-Wan was willing to trust them when they had failed him so spectacularly. It made all the progress he had made feel even more momentous. "Confirm this with Padawan Kenobi, we must," Yaddle said, breaking the silence that had settled over them after Tholm had left with Voss. Plo shut his eyes. "I would request that he is spoken to about this tomorrow, and I will be present. Who will speak with him?" Next to him, Mace shook his head in the negative, face still pressed into his palms. Plo worried for his friend. Each new tragedy revealed made Mace feel guiltier and guiltier for sending Obi-Wan running. Obi-Wan appeared to have moved past it, and Jon had as well. But Mace seemed to take it as a personal failing. "Speak with him myself, I will," Yaddle said. The small master patted at Mace's knee in comfort. "Be there, you both should. Padawan Antilles as well." Plo dipped his head. Including Jon was a wise decision, one he would have pushed for. Even now, months later, he wondered how much more forthcoming Obi-Wan would have been in front of the council had he been allowed his friend as a comfort and support. "It will be done," Plo said. His mind was already busy plotting how to comfort the Padawans after the fact and preserve the trust and closeness just beginning to bloom. He had a few ideas. End of chapter 33.